is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
what you want. So make me what you want me to be.
Hallelujah. Let us thank God for our choir. Thank you, choir. Make me, Lord, what you want me to be. And I would just suggest to us that whenever we pray that kind of prayer, we need to be ready for whatever God might do. Because sometimes for him to make us what he wants us to be, y'all remember that potter with the clay on the wheel? He had to smash it and start all over again. And I don't know about you, but I've had to ask the Lord to make me over again. Oh my, am I by myself? Come on. Make you, Lord, make me, Lord, what you would have me to be. Thank you, choir. Let us stand. I want to call your attention again to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. We read it last week. And so today I'm going to just read verses 10 and 11 for your hearing. But if you need to, go back and read that in its entirety. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Verses 10 and 11 says, "Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I told you last week that the title of this message, which is the type of prayer that God answers, amen, there is an indication that if there is a type of prayer that God answers, amen, then you ought to understand that there is also a type of prayer that God does not answer, amen. And I don't know about you, but I need, amen, to know the type of prayer that God answers. I need him to answer my prayers. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, thank you, ushers. Thank you so much that if you get in a tight enough spot, you will need God to answer your prayers as well. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and into the minds of your people, a word that will remind us that you are God and you're God all by yourself. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I told you on last Sunday that the first type of prayer that God answers is sincere prayer. And I want to pause here parenthetically and tell you, Pleasant Hill, that when we come into the house of the Lord, when we come to this building, and please note that I know that this building is really not the church house. This is a place where we come to worship. The real church house is your body. Amen. Because guess what? When we leave out of here, we're going to turn the lights out. We're going to lock the doors. We're going to turn on ADT. And if this were really God's house, we wouldn't need ADT. Do I have a witness here today? How many of you know that if God lived in this building, he could handle its security all by himself? So this building is not the church house. Your body is the church house. 1 Corinthians, I think it is again, verse 18, it says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which lives in you?" So your body is the temple of God. Please don't take that for granted. But when we come into this building, it is a special place. It is a sacred place because we have sanctified it. We have set it aside for the worship and praise of God. But I want us to know that as important as worship is, as important as praise is, there is something more dear to God than our worship and our praise, and that is prayer. Y'all remember Jesus? Jesus didn't get upset a whole lot. But there was one instance where he got upset because he went into the temple and there were money changers and there were folk who had no interest in God. Their only purpose was coming to take care of themselves, to take care and line their own pockets. And Jesus got so upset that the Bible says he took a stick and went to turning over the tables. And he said, "You've turned my father's house," amen, "that's supposed to be a house of prayer, into a den of thieves." So prayer is very important to God, my brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you that as you leave, you ought to pray at home. When you get in your car, you ought to pray on your way here. And when you get here, one of the things I like, and I got to be careful how I say this. You know, some churches, when the folk come in the building, they get on their knees and they say a prayer. You know, now I'm like this in my relationship with God. I don't believe that we ought to be too showy. It ought to be personal. Amen. And a lot of stuff, some stuff we do in church is not so much for God. It's to make folk think highly of us. Do y'all understand? If you don't understand, don't misunderstand. But this is a place of prayer. Prayer is central to this building, and prayer ought to be central in your life. The first type of prayer that God honors, I told you last Sunday, was sincere prayer. When you go to talking to God, you better be real. When you go to communicating with God, you know how we do one another. We smile in folks' face, amen, and lie and talk about them behind their back. But you can't, thank you, Sister Maps, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, she shared with us how, amen, you can't fool God. You can't fool God. Amen. The late Sister Helen Eberhardt used to say, "He's looking and booking." Amen. And I'm so glad, y'all, he don't just look and book at what the pastor's doing. But every one of us, amen, that's why when that woman, remember the woman got caught in the act of adultery? And them church folk, them holy rollers, those religious folk, they got her and they had rocks and stuff. They were going to stone her to death, Brother DeVos, because she messed up. Amen. But Jesus showed up on the scene, and the Bible says Jesus started writing something on the ground. We don't really know what he wrote, but after all was said and done, Jesus said, "Let he among you who is without sin cast the first stone." Oh, my. Oh, my. We've got to be sincere in our praying because God knows the whole truth about us. Do I have a witness today? He honors sincere prayer. But let me move on lest I hold you too long because the second type of prayer that God honors, sincere prayer, but the second type of prayer is reverent prayer. Now that word reverent has to do with, it is closely related to the word fear. And you've heard me say before that the acronym, the acrostic, FEAR, they say FEAR stands for false evidence appearing real. That's what fear. And so when God tells us that we are not to fear, it is because the stuff that the devil throws our way, it really is false evidence appearing real. Come on, where are my folk who know you ain't got to fear the devil? You don't have to fear your haters. You don't have to fear your enemies. Amen. If your trust is in God. How do I know it? I know it because Paul said, "If God be for you." Oh, y'all don't want to say nothing. Y'all going to make me work hard this morning. Amen. If God is for you, he's more than the world against you. Let me back that up by saying, I don't care how bad your enemy is. I don't care how big your Goliath is. I don't care how mean they look, amen. If your hope and your trust is in God, if it is in him that you know you live and move and have your being, you don't have to fear anybody or anything. I know I got to have two or three witnesses in here today. And so when we say that God honors reverential prayer, I want you to take note of how the prophet prays. Look at verse 5. He opens his prayer. Tell your neighbor, he opens his prayer. With these words, he said, "And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God." But before he asks him for anything, he reverences God. He worships God. He says, "Great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." Nehemiah went to the Lord with a heavy heart. He was heavily burdened. It was so heavy that it caused him to sit on the floor crying and weeping and mourning. The Bible says for days. It's hard to get us to pray for minutes. We get sleepy, amen, just doing that little, "Now lay me down." Already asleep. But the prophet prayed for days. He reverenced God so much that he got on the floor. He was weeping and he was crying. But Nehemiah did not rush into God's presence with requests. He did not rush into God's presence with petitions. He did not rush into God saying, "I want this," or "I need that." In fact, he does not mention the thing that led him to pray until verse 11. Do I have a witness here? Instead, he begins his prayer with words of worship, words of adoration, words of prayer. Amen. Words of praise. Jesus even taught us that in the Lord's Prayer. He starts out by, he said, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Amen. Before you ask him for something, reverence him, worship him. He recognizes the transcendence of God. He says, "O Lord God of heaven." You know, and some of us, we want to get cute with God, talking about the man upstairs. No, he ain't the man upstairs. He is the Lord God of heaven. Amen. He recognizes the transcendence of God, but also he recognizes the majesty of God. He says, "You are great and awesome." And then he recognizes the faithfulness of God. Look at what it says. He says, "I'm talking to the God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." I want to submit to you, Pleasant Hill, this morning, that God answered Nehemiah's prayer because it was reverent, it was worshipful, it was God intoxicated. Anybody ever been intoxicated? Why y'all stop looking at me? Some of y'all turn your head when I looked at you. Amen. Hey, you ever been intoxicated? Thank you, Sister Landry. We got one witness. You know, when you get full of that other kind of spirits, come on, amen. You get happy, you start telling. I'm here to tell you, it's two folk you got to be careful with if you don't want them to tell you the truth. Children and drunk folk. They will tell you the truth, amen. And that's something happen when you get full of that kind of spirit. And that ought to happen when you get full of the Holy Spirit. You ought to be honest. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But his prayer was God intoxicated. Oh, my. I miss the days when we would come to church and folk would be so full of God that the old mothers of the church would get to thinking about the stuff he brought them through. They get to thinking about the bills he paid. They didn't know how they were going to. They get to thinking about how he kept them and their children, and praise would break out. They would start shouting. The ushers would start running and fanning. All that was the Holy Ghost. Amen. All it was is that they were God intoxicated. Is there anybody here this morning who is so full of God, you're so in love with God, that you don't mind lifting holy hands and saying, "God, I praise you. God, I worship you. I don't care who's watching me. I don't care what they say about me. I love you so much. You've been so good that I don't mind giving you some praise." Give him praise in here today. You've got to reverence God. Some of y'all know children who call their parents by their first name. Now, I grew up, we called my father Big Willie because we had a nephew named Willie also. He was Little Willie. We called our dad Big Willie, but it was not a man out of lack of respect. It's because he was big. Amen. And we never dared just to call him Willie. Some of y'all know children who talk back to their parents. You see, reverence involves respect, but it also involves a healthy dose of fear. It was God who, before history's dawning, unrolled the blueprint to the foundation of the world and brought cosmos out of chaos with his own voice saying, "Let there be light." I'm telling you, you better fear him. It was God who created the earth and then caused it to spin on its axis as it orbited the sun. I stopped by to tell you, you better fear him. It was God that woke you. It wasn't your alarm clock. It was God who woke you up this morning, gave you the activity of your limbs, clothed you in your right mind. You better fear him. It is God who holds the next heartbeat of your heart in his hands, the next expansion of your lungs in his hands. You better fear him. Is there anybody who fears God today? I submit to you that when we don't begin our prayers the way Nehemiah did, we're not able to conclude our prayers the way Nehemiah did. In verse 11, Nehemiah says, "And give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of," watch this, you gotta highlight this. He says, "Grant him mercy in the sight of this man." The man he's talking about is Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. And I told y'all last week that Artaxerxes was a bad somebody. Amen. It's often said that he had special powers, magical powers, and he could summon up demons and all that kind of stuff. Amen. But Nehemiah, when he prayed, he reverenced God so much that as bad as Artaxerxes was, he had enough sense to know he ain't nothing but a man. Oh my, oh my. Is there anybody here who's had to deal with haters and enemies and they thought they were bad? They thought, amen, they had power, but one thing they did not know is that you had a relationship with a God who has all power. Is there anybody here this morning who can look back over your life and say, "Pastor, I made it through some stuff that I should not have made it through, but for the help of God, but for the hand of God on my life, I want to give him praise." Give him praise, give him praise. Say, "God, I believe you're gonna give me success in spite of this man." Oh my, oh my. But I don't understand how you would dare miss church, because a lot of folk miss church because of stuff they're dealing with at home, at work, or at school. But I don't understand how you would dare miss church in light of the things you're dealing with at home, work, and school. You need to be in church so that we can remind you that God is good. You need to be in church. Y'all don't get anything else this morning. I want you to walk away or drive away from Pleasant Hill today saying, "I didn't get anything else, but I got this." Preacher say, "God is God." Somebody needed to know that today. Your husband or your wife is not God. Your children are not God. Your boss and your coworkers are not God. Your teachers and your classmates are not God. Your enemies and your haters are not God. Come on, help me preach this. God is God. He answers sincere prayer. He answers reverent prayer. But then I'm going to give you this one and I'm going to close it out until next Sunday. He answers honest prayer. After Nehemiah offers his words of adoration, verse 6 moves to the next major aspect of his prayer. Now, again, he delayed mentioning the specific thing that led him to pray. Instead, after spending time in worship, he begins to deal with the things that were standing between him and God. For verses 6 through 10, he confessed his sin to God. So you got to be honest.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you want him to answer your prayer, you got to be honest. That's why the Spirit gave me this motto for Pleasant Hill. We're real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. The operative word is real. Because you can fool folk, but we can't fool God. Is there anybody in here who can appreciate this reality? You may as well be real, because he already knows. Amen. Amen. I thank God on yesterday in our deacon business meeting. We had a wonderful time in our deacon business meeting. And then after the deacon business meeting, the deaconesses had a meeting and a fellowship, and they invited Pastor to come by and help me on my diet with some fried fish and potato salad and some Sis Carmen. What kind of cake was that? Honey bun cake. Amen. Hallelujah, and bless his name. And but one of the ladies was talking. I'm not going to call her name, but she was telling the sisters that you may as well be real. Amen. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of phony fake folk. Yeah. Reverend Garner, I have been in the church all my life. Uh-huh. And when I was young, growing up in the church, I was fooled. I hate to admit, but it took me getting older to realize that everybody with a shout, everybody that can speak in tongues, everybody that's got a praise, got other issues too. Do I have any witnesses here today? And so I want to tell you again that if you want God to answer your prayer, be honest with him. Be real. He already knows your issues. He knows your hang-ups. He knows your addictions. But not only does he know, he loved you enough. Watch this. To send his son to pay the price for your mess-ups. Should you not find the ability in this life to overcome it. Thank God I'm saved. Now he gives us the Holy Spirit who lives in us to help us to come back and to overcome that stuff that has us hung up and caught up. Amen. And my prayer for every believer is that you would allow God to deliver you from whatever stronghold may be in your life. Paul said this. Paul said, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily. Come on, where my folks who know it's easy. It's easy to get caught up in sin. But God loved us so much that he sent his son. He doesn't want you to approach him with a lie, acting like you didn't do it. Amen. One thing about David, David had issues. But the Bible is clear that David would fall flat on his face before God and say, God, I did it. I did it. It was me. I did it. And that's why God said of David, he is a man after my own heart. And I don't know about you, but I would love for God to be able to say of Joseph Garner, he's a man after, he ain't perfect, but he's a man. He ain't got it all right yet, but he's a man after my own heart. Are there any brothers and sisters in here today? You want to be the apple of God's eye? You want to live a life that is pleasing to him? You want him to hear?